members here from CPU focus for all those APCs and strategic plans. Our program today, in terms of the communication that we have done to yourself, we're supposed to have the officials, our officials, to deal with the analysis of the strategic plans and APCs, and later on to see SSC and the planning and monitoring as we do usually. Every annually we invite them to come and brief us in terms of the budget, how we are performing as a department on the budget that we are appropriating as Parliament. So because of the change of the program by Parliament, we'll only have the our staff just taking through as the analysis, and at 11 o'clock we'll attend the meeting. There are several meetings that political parties have to attend to, because there is a plenary today. I suppose honorable members know about this. There is a plenary which will start at 2 o'clock. So we'll just receive input from our officials, and then the first day we're supposed to meet with the department and the two entities. So we'll reprioritize that. On Thursday we'll then have planning and monitoring FSC and the department, and the entities will go to Friday, that is Friday. And what we'll then do is that we'll only receive entities, those that you are they're getting allocation, the budget. Those that are not getting the budget will actually call them even after the budget, will still continue to engage with them. So that's how we'll reprioritize the engagement with this process. And let me welcome you, honorable members, from your festive season. Easter. I hope you had a wonderful Easter. I had one. I was at the church. I feel rejuvenated. My soul has been cleansed and all those other things. So I hope honorable members had the same thing. And you're welcome. This term, I think it's very tense, honorable members. We have actually circulated the program. But with the change, the way this parliament has been run, change of program every day, will forgive us, because we will temper with the program as we continue because of the change of the agenda of Parliament every now and then. So the department will be presenting its budget speech on the 21st. I think members must 23rd, 24th, 25th. So members must diarize the day. The vote for the department will be presented on the 21st. And we will be guided by the reference of the allocations of time and the venue of NA. We will be in NA venue. So this process that we will engage now is for us to ready ourselves for that presentation. But by acknowledging, we have an apology from Honorable Nkosi Mandela. was attending the meeting. Our committee is the apology. We are attending the meeting of the committee, the other committee that he said, where is the whip? And then Honorable Stein will arrive late. I think those are the apologies that we have. And there is a letter from department that I've asked them to direct to you at the senior, where they are requesting to change. I'm not sure, where is it now? They are requesting to change which day, by the way. The presentation of AFC has got a conference here to see the invite ourselves. So they requested to be shifted within the program. The date that we're given them flashes with the date of their conference. And they are hosting the international conference, which is being hosted by them. So we have to look at that. Who is that? Fishery agriculture drought studies, yeah. Because everything now is drought related. You must say something about drought as you speak to us. Yeah, you're welcome.
Morning, members. I'll be speaking to the document that got a plain page titled Budget Analysis Vote 24, Department of Agriculture, Policy and Fisheries. And I think in the interest of time, I won't really go through the entire document, but
Budget Analysis Vote 24.
I'll just quickly go through some of the pertinent issues in here. The first part of the brief is just an introduction in terms of what the exercise is all about, what we should be looking out for, the different policy mandates that the department should be covering in their APP. The NTSS outcomes that are relevant to the department. And in terms of the NTSS outcomes that are relevant to the department, I've also prepared Annexure A, so you also should have that. So it breaks down in terms of outcome 4, what the different sub-outcomes are that are relevant to the department, and the various programs of the department that contribute to that. It was also a bit tricky to then isolate different targets or the specific targets that speak to the sub-outcomes of the NTSS outcomes. And I think it's basically how the department has presented its APC, but I think over time it should be an exercise that's possible to be able to link all the indicators in the department's APC, link those to the NTSS outcomes. But for now, it was rather difficult to be able to stretch it out. It's just the way that it's presented in the APC. And then the second part of the brief looks at the overview of the 2016 financial year. And members will remember that we only dealt with the first and the second quarter reports of the department. But that section also covers the media reports that Treasury also releases in terms of the expenditure of the department and the performance therein. I think the important thing today, I mean, already we know, during 2016, the important thing was based on the corner, it was the revitalization of agriculture and agro-processing value chain, the AgriPark, as well as the implementation of the APEC, which are all interrelated. But in that regard, the committee has not really been briefed in terms of the progress that has been made there or in terms of the detailed plans that were supposed to be implemented there. So there's that issue there. And then there was also the integrated development finance framework, which was supposed to be developed and approved in 2016. The committee has also not been meet as yet about that, but it also carries on forward to 2016 to even to look at the HG of the department. So if the work was, whether or not the work was done in 2016, we have a bearing on what can be done in 2016. And then the other issue was, they were supposed to develop a veterinary strategy, which is has been a big issue since 2012-13, since the ORE conducted the risk assessment and the gap analysis in terms of how we manage and control for animal diseases. And there were several things that the National Department was supposed to try to address in order to make sure that we minimize the risk in terms of particularly the diseases that we were looking at was FMD at the time. So even though FMD is still under control, but there's also issues now with brucellosis. And so how, if that strategy has been developed in 2016, will have a bearing in whether or not the department can adequately respond in 2016 and going forward to some of the animal health risk issues. And that's also important not only for the disease aspect, obviously, but also important for the export of plants and livestock. And so looking at those issues from 2016, the one that will always have been outstanding for some years now is the smallholder producers that have been supported. In 2016, at the media report, it was about 11% of the target of 145,000 that has been supported. And the issue there also comes because there's a problem. If at the end of the year, 120,000 farmers have been supported, there's normally a problem with the verification of the data that's reported. So I think, but the department has introduced some measures in 2020 to try and address that, but we'll have to wait and see if it's adequate in that regard. And the department has also indicated to the portfolio farming director, because of the draft, they'll have to write down their targets. So even in terms of the smallholder producers which is supported, those targets will have to be revised down. But I think it's also a bit difficult going forward to adequately understand if the revision of targets downwards is a sufficient response to addressing the plight of particularly, let's say, smallholder farmers. Because if, I mean, the department has already made an assessment of how the drought has affected the sector, so there'll be a 12.3 reduction, contraction of the sector. So we would imagine for smallholder farmers who have been affected, if the support that the department plans to give to farmers in 2017 is also revised downwards, so it means that farmers who are out of business who will not necessarily receive support because the work of the department has also been adapted downwards. And then there's also the issue of, I've already mentioned the brucellosis issue in terms of the animal diseases. So I think it's something that we have to keep an eye on because I know the portfolio committee was released last year already by the South African Veterinary Council stating that they feel it is an under-reported or even unreported disease outbreak in the country. And so we've seen already that the department already in 2015 they have carried out additional work in terms of monitoring for brucellosis. So maybe it's something that we have to be aware of or be briefed on that. I think under program 5, the number of irrigation schemes that will be revitalized. In 2015, it was 250 hectares that should be revitalized, but the department has also altered that target for the 2016-17 financial year, so they are no longer counting the number of hectares that have been revitalized, but they'll now be counting the number of projects that have been supported. So, and I think the target for 2017 is one project. So even in that, so will it be one project that covers 14 hectares, 400 hectares, or so that is something that they have to do. And dealing with the issue of the water scarcity in South Africa. But in as much as that's a reality, I think there also needs to be a balance with the need to develop agriculture. And then there were reasons that the National Treasury report provided for why there was a revision of the target under Program 5 for the land under irrigation and for the unutilized land that has been cultivated. And the reason there is also having to reprioritize funds for the World Forest Fund, which was held successfully. But also it stated that the revision was also due to the freezing of coast and due to anticipated understanding that the funds were shifted somewhere else. So, but I think the issue of Program 5 is a long-standing one as well, because there has been that sense of the some levels of underperformance, but over and above the underperformance there's been understanding. And when you look, the reason for variation that the department is here in terms of underperformance in the program specifically, it would be that they are underfunded and therefore they couldn't fulfill their money. But that underperformance is always linked to understanding, so there's been a problem there. But looking forward into 2016-17, there's been a downward revision of most targets today, and the budget is adjusted, I think, about 4%, so it's increased just about 4% to try and adjust the program. But there hasn't been much of a change. I think that concludes the 2016 performance of the department as far as this health. And then the policy priorities is the obvious one, the SONA. And just to state, remember that obviously the 2016 SONA was a reporting back based on the 2016 SONA, which was centered on the revitalization of agriculture and agricultural convention. And the department did report that there was an ACAP report that they, on a quarterly basis, they report on those things, and the quarterly report should constitute the annual report on ACAP. And maybe that's something that the committee could debrief on in terms of what has been achieved from the APEC from the 2016 financial year, and how that could then APEC continue over the NPM period. So how things are looking like in that regard. The issue of the NPCs, members are familiar with that in terms of the number of jobs, the hectares that should be brought under cultivation. Just to say, in terms of the number of jobs, so the NPCs speak to the 1 million jobs that members are familiar with, but if you all try to now estimate what on an annual basis you expect the number of jobs to be created from the agricultural sector. So let's say in a minimum of 40,000, between 40,000 and 50,000 jobs, that would be the average pace of creating jobs annually leading up to the million jobs by 2030 of the NPC. But that's also covered, I think now on page 11, on table 3 of the group that member has. So what I've done there is just the figures from Statistics SA where they do the quarterly labor force survey, and it just shows how the number of jobs has been fluctuating in the agricultural sector. So from the period from 2008 until 2011, the sector has been creating jobs. Only positive growth in terms of number of jobs created was in 2012-13. In 2014 there was job loss as well. And then 2015 was a positive growth. But I think this is also important because it's also reflected in the department's presentation of the situational analysis or the environmental scan that they did. Based on what the department is, you don't get a clear sense of is the sector creating jobs or is the sector shared jobs. They mention both things, but what they don't mention is they are not specific enough about it in terms of the pattern of the job losses or the factors that are driving the job losses. And where jobs were created, they also don't highlight the factors that have led to the creation of those jobs. And I think that's important. If we are to work towards the NPC target of a million jobs, then we need to have a more clear understanding of one person was driving the job losses and job creation in the state of Sudan. Whatever interventions that are put in place are interventions that are geared towards the job creation. And then the second four of the brief, which is now on page 8, it's just given a breakdown of the budget of the department. And you will see, okay, so starting with table 1, what I've tried to do there is compare the shift or the growth in the budget between last year and this year. And on the overall, you can see that the budget of the department has increased by about 65 million, but that's just when you subtract this year's budget from last year's budget. But if you take this year's budget and you also factor in the inflationary pressures for that, then the budget was actually reduced by 467 million. And then I also see the percentages for that. I think the programs that obviously are consume the larger chunk of the department's budget, program 2, 3, and yes, and 5, so yeah, and 5. But you will see that between program 2 and 3, there's been negative growth. The only slight, the next largest negative growth has been in program 6. And I think, okay, maybe, yeah, sometimes we'll speak to that again a bit later. But I think we've seen in previous years where program 6 was slightly also underfunded. And then on table 2, what table 2 then gives you, so table 1 was giving you the changes in terms of comparing last year and this year. What table 2 gives you is the growth between 2015 up and over the MTS, up until 2019, what the projection is. Of course, this might change, but the budget of the department is projected to grow by 3% at a rate of 3%, which obviously is still not sufficient to beat the inflationary pressure. So we should be doing, even next year when we said to do the same calculation we did for table 1, the budget would have potentially shrunk. So if there's any forward maybe we look at the CPR report, if there's any forward looking recommendations that we need to make, maybe it might come in. So I've spoken to the issue of the jobs and so we can move to table 3. So now let us look at the statistics South Africa report that was speaking to the jobs. So that ties into outcome 4 in the NTFS and also ties into the NTFS. The other outcome that the department is responsible for is, or that contributes to, is outcome 6. Outcome 7 is key food security. And again, Statistics South Africa released the General Household Survey report, which is a 2014 report that was released in 2015. And in the NTFS, the target is that it was less than 10.5% of households that are vulnerable to climate. So that's the target that the climate should be contributing. But the current statistics, and they do a long-term analysis. So at the highest, the figure was 17.8 in 2003, but by 2014, it had reduced down to 11.4. So from now till 2019, the target should be to reduce that further to 10.5, or anything less than 10.5. That's the target. So if the other problem there is member to local member with the food safety and food security workshop that they did, what one of the presenters was saying is because we have that the continuum of food security databases, I might call them. So in as much as the NTFS is focusing on households that are vulnerable to climate, but you still have other categories of people who are food insecure that are not necessarily covered under that category. And the staff of the report was highlighting that you get individuals who are susceptible to hunger, who have inadequate or severely inadequate food access, and those statistics are still also relatively high. outcome that they contribute to is, still on outcome 7. What was interesting from that general household study was also that there were about 80% of households in the country that were involved in agricultural production. Well, whether it was for self-consumption or for that, it was 18.3. So now, in a matter, and the portfolio committee is well aware that we struggle to try and get the funding to move in the direction of establishing a database for whether the smallholder farmers, subsistence farmers, including the commercial farmers, so that we understand very well the nature of their services, the level of the demand for the services of the department. But whilst that is still happening, so I think this is some kind of a proxy to say, this is the level of the demand of the services of the department. And in the same report, it also says that there was only 13% of the households that were involved in agriculture that had received government support. And the government support that the respondents spoke to was retail services, it was extension services as well. So in as much as the questionnaire was a broad one, and it was reflecting on services from government, but what the respondents spoke to were services offered by the Department of Agriculture. So I think in trying to match the level of the demand to the level of service, the level of service of support services that are offered to agricultural households in the country, I think that's an important link to make, and I think the department should start to, in their planning, we should be able to reflect on this number. And then section 4.2 just speaks to the transfers, grants, and subsidies that the department will make in the 16-18 financial year. What's important there is that the National Treasury, ENE, which was also taken, it reflects that over the MTF period, there will be a reduction of the CAF grant by 150 million. Well, whether or not that will still be adopted again, we don't know. But over the MTF period again, in those reductions, the department will also retain 50 million rand of the grant at the national department, and this will be for the monitoring and evaluation of the provinces' use of the grant over the period of time. And then we would remember that there's been a problem with the verification of the information that's supported by provinces. So this speaks to remedy that. But also, I want to bring it to the attention of members that when the department reported in March on the progress that they are making on the audit matrix that they submitted as well, in there it stated that they have now come to an understanding with National Treasury that the guidelines that state, when the tax funds are allocated, those guidelines state that they are only responsible to monitor the expenditure and reporting by province. So they are only responsible to have those monitoring visits once a month, but it doesn't mean that they have to monitor the progress of all the projects as implemented in province. So in as much as funding has been made available, I think it's also important to understand exactly what are the plans, the digital plans in terms of monitoring the CAF funding. But I think it's not only a CAF funding issue, because then it spills over into the federal allocation, because we know that the CAF funding is being utilized in federal allocation. So is the department planning to actively monitor the projects in provinces? Or are they only going to monitor the disbursement, monitor based on the business plans, the disbursements, the expenditure thereof, and the reporting that the problem is doing? I think that was the main issue there. And so I just give a highlight of which program makes which transfers. But if you look on page 4, I think the important thing there to highlight was the column that highlighted on transfers and subsidies. So the figures are provided in brackets. Those figures actually speak to how much of the program allocation is being transferred, whether it's being transferred to provinces, to entities, and so on and so forth. So for program 3, almost 85% of that is being transferred. Program 2, 67%. And the program 4 is 55.066. I think what was also interesting under program 4, that has been of interesting is that the earlier on when I started speaking, reflecting on the 1566 performance, I mentioned the integrated development planning framework that was supposed to be developed. And the department had indicated that this will be done in conjunction with the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform and the Land Bank, so that there's a comprehensive, in the same way they're developing the comprehensive support policy, there should be a comprehensive financial support package that is, it's almost like norms and standards for financial support across, because the committee had raised the issue that because the financial support differs from departments to land banks to whatever, it's difficult to have, I think there was a talk of a one-stop shop at some point, but that has not progressed any further. But what the department has done now in terms of the transfer, they're transferring, I think, 36.7 million to the land bank. So I think the issue is the integrated funding framework thing still going to develop and work, or has the department opted to channel some of the need financial support through to the land bank through the allocation that's been made? And as a side note, the program of the land bank is relatively successful, so it's not a bad option either, but it's just a matter of understanding. Is the integrated funding framework thing still going to develop, or as they are finding that? And also under program 4, the department is also transferring funds to the forestry sector separate transfer. I think it's a few million or something. But that's not the issue there. Remember, we also remember that we have the forestry sector separate transfer, but we also have the agri-EE separate transfer. And there's no references to any allocations that will be made in that regard. But also the agri-DEE Santa Council, there's been issues that came from 2014-15 in terms of the sector transformation report that was supposed to be developed between the department and the agri-DEE Santa Council, but that hasn't come through to the portfolio fund. So just to understand how well functioning is the agri-DEE Santa Council currently or in this financial year or over the year. I think then the next section, they go into program by program, and I'll only speak to issues that are probably rather important. Then under program one, the department will develop 3 bills that must be submitted to the minister. But I think what's important there to mention is the preservation and development of agricultural land framework bill that the department tends to develop. And as much as that one is critical, I think also at some point the committee might need to be briefed in terms of how that will work. Because recently, I was with outside of the department's document, but farmers, I've been aware of farmers in KZN where there's exploration for fuel exploration, so on farmland. We know in the Karoo where the shale gas thing is going to happen, the exploration there. And so that kind of fits the urgency of the bill. But how this bill seeks to manage the interest between the powers that are vested under different acts to the Minister of Energy, to the Minister of Minerals and so forth. I think that's more important to just get a good understanding. And would the bill address the current deficiencies that exist? And also in terms of the SLUMA bill, which confers power to the municipalities, yes. But even with that, the SLUMA bill has made provisions for special consideration that must be given for prime and unique agricultural land. So is it necessary, given the urgency of the matter, is it necessary now to go the full process of developing a bill, or are there avenues that can be explored And in terms of APEC and the delivery plan that the department is planning to report on in 2017, but it's something that the committee could also ask for the 2016 financial year, because it should have been under implementation there in that year. Table 5 is just a budget for program 1. The only notable shift there or growth in the budget is for internal audit and over the NPS, and we hope that signals for improvement in the internal audit function of the department. And program 2 is the monitoring of the animal improvement team, but we also know the animal improvement team, we know that the department does not implement audits. They're implemented by the ARC on behalf of the department. But we also know that the ARC has already indicated to the portfolio committee when we deliberated on the annual plans last year already, that it is an underfunded function that they are continuing on behalf of staff. So have those issues been resolved? And because if I look in terms of the budget, there's actually been a reduction when you look at the animal production and health program. That it had about 18.3% of a reduction over the, it will have that reduction over the 10 years. So will Gaunap, the one team, Gaunap Apiary Corporation, would it still be implemented or is there a budget to implement that? The department indicated that there is now ramification based on how the AFOA deal was concluded, because they said that because now they have to accept consignments that come from one country with specific standards. Previously rejected consignments based on those same standards can no longer be rejected from other trading partners, can no longer be rejected. Which means, because under the WTO, then you have to treat all the trading partners, you have to give them the same treatment too. So under that rule, they would not be able to reject those consignments, which means they have to they have to increase their capacity in terms of inspectors for particularly meat and for food. So, but also when looking at the budget, there was no significant growth of the budget to try and allocate. I mean, they estimated that, the department itself estimated that they need at a cost of 637 million for the meat inspectors and 248 million for the food inspectors, and that has not been taken for in the budget. And then, so if I've already spoken to the increase of the budget in terms of the animal production and health, in terms of Gaunap Apiary Corporation, but also we know from media reports it's under control, the FMC outbreak, but we still have an FMC outbreak in Limpopo. Now there's the issue of the brucellosis outbreak, and there's also issues of joint disease outbreak. So if we're going to have an increased outbreak with a veterinary strategy that is still under development, as far as we understand, so how adequately is the department capacitated or resourced to deal with those challenges and some under program three is the food security program where the Fatala and CAS projects have been handled. I think I'm quite familiar with the program, with the sub-program of the program. But I think the most important thing we also remember that Sebatala was launched in 2013. And I mean, I double-checked on that. So we have a production plan for 2013. There's a production plan that was submitted 2014-15. And recently the committee was presented with the production plan for 2015-16. So it would also be interesting to get the annual plans, performance plans that speak to the various years. Did we perform as planned and you know, what were the lessons there, how were we improved and so on and so forth. I think that will be important. And also, looking at all those production plans, so it seems everything looks like it's on track. But then maybe we should also get a sense of, are these numbers of hectares that have gone under production similar? Keeping in mind the 1 million hectares that's also highlighted in the NCP. So if we've been able child evicted for the past 2 years. Can we safely say today there is a minimum of 300 hectares that is under sustained before obviously under production? Or do we plow 100 hectares every single year and, without the numbers of hectares being seen with it? And looking at the food security program, and you look at the MCSF outcome table, where the food security issues fall under, the PLS, it does not appear that the food security related targets, also taking into consideration the statistics as they report that I've alluded to, it does not appear that the plans of the department are responding to what we should be trying to achieve. So yes, there are plans there that are targeted at food security initiatives, but are they adequately responding to the challenges? I think there's a bit of a gap here. And so yeah, table 7 does give the budget breakdown of program 3. Under program 4, I've already spoken to this about the transfers that are made to land banks, to the forestry sector charter, and the missing in terms of agriculture, when the president spoke in 2015 and 2016, the issue is that we revitalize agriculture and agriculture in expenditures. But the department also has stated that it's developing an agro-processing strategy. So in implementing that strategy for the 16-17 financial year, they plan to support 12 agro-processing entrepreneurs. But I think the issue there is our members have not necessarily been briefed on the strategy, so we have not seen the actual strategy. So we don't know what they say they're implementing is in fact what the strategy contains. And then there's the budget breakdown there on table 7. And then under program 5, I think members are familiar with the issues of the land that must be bought under utilization and the land that must be bought under irrigation. And those targets were not met. And I've already stated how there's been a downward revision of those targets. The only issue there is that the reasons that the National Treasury, the CNT, provides for the downward revision is now totally different from the reasons that were provided when we looked at the media report of 1516. In 1516, it was pretty unusual, extending understanding and the World Forestry Conference. But now they are stating that more work was done, so there's no need to be planning for more targets, so they're just going to download to the buy program download and from what we observed from the performance of the department, let's say over the past 2 or 3 financial years, there were no other overachievements of targets under that program, and therefore unclear as to how the targets were overachieved. And then the issue of land under irrigation, I think that one maybe perhaps at a different time, because it's also a bit lengthy. But the department states that they have a study from the Water Research Commission, and then they are basing their target on that. But I think a further exploration of what really can be achieved in terms of bringing land under irrigation is still looking at. And then the last thing is the post-establishment of the department. If you look at the current figures that they have, the department sits at a 11.5% vacancy rate, but also we know the pronouncements that have been made by the Minister of Finance in terms of trying to reduce the cost of that government incurred in terms of cost of employment. So I think the committee might not see much of an improvement in terms of that figure moving forward until the fiscal situation is improved. And
thank you very much. I'll now give it to Susan. All right. We just shoot straight to page 3. And the one that relates to the legislative and policy priorities. One thing that seemed to be a limiting factor in the expansion of aquaculture is that was the lack of an overarching legislation. And this has been coming for quite some time, the development of the aquaculture bill. It was in last year's target that it would be tabled in Parliament, but due to extension most of the time of the consultation period, it ended up falling out. So it's expected that it should be tabled within this financial year because it has already gotten a go-ahead in most of the people. It's based on the department's reporting. It has gotten a go-ahead from the parties that were consulted and that participated. And there's one thing that seemed to be somehow passed. It is relating to the Marine Living Resources Act. The department, when it was amending it for accommodating small-scale fishers, they said they are actually bringing it, the revised version, soon. And that soon seemed to have been overtaken by the aquaculture bill, because the impression that was given was that it will, they already had the draft. It's just that they needed to expand on some sections that were raised when the bill was first brought to the committee to amend some larger scope, but that has since taken a back seat or it's quiet, and it's not mentioned anywhere among the planned pieces of legislation to be brought here. And as the department is working on the bill now, the aquaculture bill, it happens at the time when there is that tight fiscal environment, and given that the finances needed for the bill to come into implementation, that may need to be clarified on terms of the budgeting, because they are saying that although the bill is still developed, but they think it's already being implemented. So whether there's already existing funding for that. And one of the things that is also continuing is the implementation of the National Development Plan. I won't go into what is expected there, but part of the ideals in the NDP is the transformation of the sector, which expects that will be partly through the allocation of fishing rights. And the FRAP 2015-16 process is expected to attend to some of those things. But based on the plan on the APP, the target in the department, they are not really speaking to the FRAP process. They're talking about the tail end of issuing of permits. And most of the time, the issuing of permits is not a problematic part, it's the right allocation. And then you have the appeals, and then the process sometimes goes to court, and it goes all the way. So maybe it's one of the things that the department may need to be asked. The thinking behind putting the issuing of permits as the last stage, as opposed to setting maybe the breakdown of the allocation of fishing rights and the review, the process where they will look at the appeal processing that, because the plan, the APP targets are not speaking to those contentious issues. And based on, because the department mentioned that they have gotten experience from the sub 2013, now they are better equipped. So which may mean that now they should be in a position of saying, okay, this is the time where FRAP 2015-16 will be wrapped up, so that at least the committee will have something to say, okay, at this time you said you would have done ABC, then that those will be used for oversight. But they seem to have not mentioned those ones. One of the things that some of the fisheries resources based on the department's recent report, the 2014 state of fisheries resources, some of the resources, they are doing very well, but they are underutilized, while some of the resources, there's so much pressure that there's, in terms of the fishing rights that are active, they can't be much adjustment. So the development has not been, okay, one of the things that the NDP says that there should be a focus on expanding the existing fisheries sector, which some of them will be the use of the underutilized resources, and the department has not been speaking to the expansion of resources or addition of some fisheries based on the resources that are underutilized, because they are of some value. There are some studies and projects that were done in the South American countries where there's much value that is extracted from what we may consider to be underutilized species. And then in some of the, when we're looking at the plans for small-scale fisheries policy, the implementation, it tends to focus more on West Coast or Western Cape in particular, where the resources are relatively of higher value, and there is very little focus on the South East and the East Coast, where some of the resources, fisheries resources, they have a lower value. So when there is this drive that, okay, small-scale fisheries will take the direction of being near commercial, it becomes a little bit tricky when they have in other areas low value fishes that are not of comparable value as in other areas. So the approach may need to be slightly different. And yeah, because that also is affected by the relatively unclear basket of species that may still need to be in some areas clarified. So those are some things that need to be checked with the department in this plan. Then there's a mention that it came in the aquaculture lab report that South Africans are consuming very little of fish. And the department has mentioned that now they want to increase the consumption of fish or close the fish gap. But when there are no targets stated in relation to that, whether like the timeline, maybe certain times that people should be eating this much of fish. But then the other thing is that most of our high value fish, they are exported. So whether this fish gap, how it will actually unfold, that will still need to be checked with the department. And then there was the mention of the aquaculture incubation scheme under the National Infrastructure Plan, that they will be harnessed. The ABB seems to be quiet on those ones. And also the issue of a proclamation of more fishing harbors. It was mentioned that it will be done last year, in the year 2014-15, it was said that it will be done in 2015-16. Then in 2015-16, it was said that it will be done in 2016-17. And in the current year, there are no targets. So I think that may need to be checked with the department on its state. And one of the other things also, not just the infrastructure, but the human and financial resources that are needed to run the harbors, like the management of the harbors. And in line with that, then you have the fish processing establishments, which were mentioned that they will be part of the development leading to the allocation of fishing rights that will be given to small-scale fishers. And there seems to be no plan, no target on that as to how many are going to be killed for the benefit of the small-scale fishers. And in the aquaculture lab report, there is mention, but it's for commercials. So the department may need to clarify where are the small-scale fish processing establishments accommodated, whether they will be shared or this and that. another thing is that most of the small scale fish are in rural, like deep rural coastal towns, and then you have some of the aquaculture operations in closer to town environment. If it's the case that the fish processing establishment will be shared, how will then things work around that? And then, yeah, one of the things which was also raised was the issue that some of the projects that are state funded in aquaculture, those that are successful, the cooperative or the people that work together, they end up remaining with fish that cannot be processed, and then it affects the production cycle, because at the end of the day there is no market to say that is linked to that, because maybe there's some value addition, or whoever that needs the fish, maybe in a specified way which the producers, which are cooperative in some instances, are unable to meet. So that will need to be changed, will need to be checked. Then there was also a mention from the president on the operation particular budget that the private sector has contributed about 350,000 rand. And when looking at the timeline, according to plans in the operation particular, the government was supposed to contribute for 2015-16. Contribute 288 million rand, with the private sector contributing 334 million rand. So there seems to be that difference, huge difference between the 334 million rand that was expected from the private sector, when you compare that with the 350,000 rand that was reported to have been contributed by the private sector towards the aquaculture project. There is some explanation for those differences then. Yes, 350,000. And then there was also the mention of an aquaculture fund, aquaculture development fund, that will be centralized instead of having the DTI managing some funds and the department managing some funds. The plan was that in 2015, under the plan in operation partition, the Aquaculture Development Fund will be managed by Land Bank. And based on the experiences from agriculture, Land Bank has not been generally easy giving when coming to money. So whether Land Bank will be slightly different this time around when coming to funding aquaculture projects, it remains to be clarified. I think that the committee can check with the department as to what the plan. And then I think we'll just skip the other stuff. We go to, I think this is supposed to be more like, oh, page 9. Or the other part are more like self-explanatory. Maybe members may need to bear in mind that, for example, from the aquaculture project, the department plans to produce 20,000 tons of fish by the end of the 2019-2020 financial year. Currently, it's producing around 5,000 tons. So looking at 2019-2020, it's just a few years away. And then also increasing its value contribution from about 670 million rand to about 3 billion rand. And the jobs from roughly currently around 2,200 to close to 15,000 rand. They did break it down on the aquaculture report, but I think the committee may need to check whether this really is practical. Because one of the things is that there will be implementation of 24 aquaculture projects. And on the ACV of the department over the 3 years, they are targeting to implement 19 projects. So that may need to be clarified as well as to what may have resulted into the downward revision of that. Some of the targets in the in opposition parties. They tie very well with the NDP, but when they some of them are revised downwards, there may need to be some explanation. Like for every year, there's some jobs that are expected to be created, although the numbers sometimes they don't add up. For example, for the previous financial year, about 337 jobs were expected to be added from the implementation of the 9 projects that the president reported on. They planned 9 and they implemented 9, which is good. But then we need to check whether the number of jobs and the returns from those investments tally with the plan. And for this financial year, they are expecting to create just over 500 jobs from implementing a bit more of this project. So, yeah, I think maybe if I should to page 10, one part that it relates to monitoring, 1, 2, 3, 4, the fifth bullet, monitoring, control, and surveillance. Members may be aware that the contract with SMVEDO was terminated or will be ending by June, July, somewhere there. The department may need to come up with something. How are they going to conduct like law enforcement in that area when SMVEDO is no longer around? Because SMVEDO, they did mention that they have other responsibilities for the compliance officers if the department is no longer willing to continue with them. They have other responsibilities for them. But then the department needs to come up with a plan to say how are they going to fill in that gap that will be left there to ensure sustainable use of the fisheries resources in the KZN part. And this should be actually looked at in line with the commitment to reduce the size of the workforce in the department or the consolidation of a workforce in the department, whether that freeze of some sort will not impact on. So if we look at the gap that will be created, it means that there should be more posts created then to do the compliance, checking licenses, permits, and law enforcement, and whether that has been or pressure has been approached for funding of those posts. And yeah, I think some of the other stuff has been.
Thank you very much. Members, that was the analysis of the ATC by our session. Do you have any questions for clarity? Or is that easy? Fine. Honorable Chris?
I want to thank our researchers. I think it's giving us a very good background also digging back into previous years and what was said. I think it's giving us some clear guidance. I just think, Chair, we need to get to some kind of system or plan where we can monitor progress better with the department. It's up to us as a committee to do that. I don't think there's another way in dealing with this to almost have like a page with just figures and facts, that every time we're having a discussion we can almost have like a 1 or 2 page document. Because you get here we go with the figures. If we talk about 1 million hectares that needs to be planted, exactly what it says. So almost like what the target was, where we are currently, and what it was for this year. Because sometimes it's a confusion, especially if we have the department in front of us, to remember all the targets for everything. So almost like a one-page document, target, what was set for this year, and where we are currently. And if we can almost tick that over per quarter, because that's another thing. every quarter they come and then they report on last quarter because they didn't do it this quarter. So it becomes very difficult to keep track of what is happening. Maybe it's just my cloud chair, but I think that will also assist us a lot.
Just to say, I don't want to waste your time, and I appreciate this analysis also, but I would like, if it was possible for this assistance to be consolidated in a way that brings together all these issues, where it seems to me that there are shortcomings from the department, so that we can attend to those that the department did not, like that kind of disappear of the deal, disappearing on the process, that is consolidated and make easier for us. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sir President. I wonder if I did get to hear the last presentation, because if you're saying that the issue of permits is not urgent, because the people on the ground now would like to get the permits, so it's very legal. So I would like to hear from that, please.
Because of the drought, we have not reached the 200. we have actually done a 5% of the 200, but then they will then have the target for this year, and the target is we want to be able to get clarity in terms of whether the 5% that they have done would it should be continuous. It should not be that we don't care about that 5%, whether it's still there or still existing, then they were focusing on another target. It should be, in our case, when we interact with the department, it will then be 5% plus the new target. It must be continuous. It doesn't say, it will not say 200 target, will not focus on the 200 target only. Our focus will continuously looking back whether indeed we are going towards the 1 million. So in terms of the irrigation, there is a particular target set by NDG. We should then be able to say this is a target, and we must actually, if the target is for 2030, what we need to establish with the department is the target within the NCEF, because it's 5-year cycle, so that we're able to track. So I think I've spoken to the DG. If he had helped me, I think they'll come and they'll bring that clarity to the meeting, so that it doesn't create a lot of confusion, including the budget for aquaculture, because in one meeting of the ground, one department gave reports about the aquaculture, if you remember. And it was a report for agriculture, but given by other departments. So I said they must clarify those issues. So I think I just thought I must raise those issues. You can respond to those other things.
Okay. I think the one matter that was raised by Ms. Dean was the fact sheet of some sort, the brief one. I think that it's doable. It's just that sometimes we find that there's now a lot of overarching policies which aren't targets, and some of the targets they are shifting. So you find that you end up holding the tail end, or they at times conflicting. Or when they are revised, you find that the document that is revised is not publicly available. So I think on that one, it needs both sides, from the department and also from the committee, to do a follow-up. At some point it was raised that the department, when it speaks of or make reference to documents, those documents should be available on their website. Yeah. There was an undertaking that those documents, or any document that is referred to when presenting to the committee, would have been loaded on their website. But I think that one has not been forthcoming. And then there was, on the consolidated document with the issues, I think that one we can just extract from these issues that we raised here. This is that we reduce them to, so that it does not become like a Bible. And then the issue on permit, clarity around that. What happens in the past that most of the small scale fishers, okay, now they are respectively small-scale fishers, they were not given fishing rights. A fishing right is generally a long-term fishing allowance, in a way, can we call it that way, it's entitlement, in a way, which is long-term, to say that maybe you can fish for 5 years, or 10 years, or 15 years, or 20 years. But the fishing right needs to be activated on annual basis. So you cannot use, your fishing right is not valid until you have a permit. A permit is the one that spells out the conditions on which to exercise your right. Like, for example, the fishing season, the amount that you can catch, the gear that you can use, and all sorts of things. So most of the time what used to happen, mostly the coastal rural communities, is that they were never given fishing rights. They were given permits. The permits allowed them to fish during that time, which meant that at the end of, for example, some of the permits, you find that they are limited to a fishing season, which in some instances may be 3 months or 4 months, which means they can only exercise during that time. So with now with the fishing rights about to be allocated, it will give them the entitlement for the duration that, for example, the species will exist. Like now there will be a basket of species, which means they will still be entitled to fish maybe, let's say the lionfish. If the season for lionfish is out, maybe they will fish another, maybe the shellfish, or, depending on what will be included in the basket. So a right has more, if I may put it in layman's terms, has more power than a permit. And then there was the matter is on the 350,000 rand mentioned by the president during SONA. I checked that one again. It is indeed from the presidency's speech. But I thought maybe I missed 10 there. The zeros are still, it still looks there.
Okay.
And then, I think that is it. So the chair has already spoken to the target emanating from the overarching policies.
Okay. I think the issues have been adequately addressed, and I think the frustration is common amongst all of us, because even when I did try to develop this the annexure A, in as much as we know what is expected from the department, to now extract in terms of the different targets, how they will contribute, it's a bit difficult. I tried, but maybe if I spend more time trying on that exercise, it's possible, but it's,
Okay. Thank you very much for the clarity. Members will, on their own time, go through again the document. This is our official. If there are questions even outside this meeting, you can just call them and ask questions. I hope I'm not misrepresenting you. Because of the importance of the discussion at hand, if members, as you go through the documents, there are certain clarity you still need, you can call them. They are available. They must be available, actually. Thank you very much. That was the analysis. And the other issue is that annually we met with the, or we have been briefed by the Auditor General on the measurability of indicators and targets of the AP. They've written a letter this time to indicate that they didn't find any challenges with the department, so there will not be a need for them to come and interact with us. So we won't have the AG this time. The department has followed what is required by them. So we'll only meet with the FSC and the Planning and Monitoring Department. Thank you very much. The meeting adjourned.